agate, and a crystal. Verse 13, and the fourth row, a beryl, a lapis lazuli, and a jasper. They were encircled in their mountings with frames of gold. Verse 14, the stones corresponded in number to the names of the sons of Israel, 12 corresponding to their names, engraved like seals, each with its name for the 12 tribes. Verse 15, on the breastpiece they made braided chains of corded work in pure gold. Verse 16, they made two frames of gold and two rings of gold, and fastened the two rings at the two ends of the breastpiece. Verse 17, attaching the two golden cords to the two rings at the ends of the breastpiece. Verse 18, they then fastened the two ends of the cords to the two frames, attaching them to the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front. Verse 19, they made two rings of gold and attached them to the two ends of the breastpiece at its inner edge, which faced the ephod. Verse 20, they made two other rings of gold and fastened them on the front of the ephod, low on the two shoulder pieces, close to its seam above the decorated band. Verse 21, the breastpiece was held in place by a cord of blue from its rings to the rings of the ephod, so that the breastpiece rested on the decorated band and did not come loose from the ephod, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 22, the robe for the ephod was made of woven work of pure blue. Verses 22 through 26, describing the robe made for the ephod, correspond to Exodus chapter 28, verses 31 through 34. Verse 23, the opening of the robe in the middle of it was like the opening of a coat of mail, with a binding around the opening so that it would not tear. Verse 24, on the hem of the robe they made pomegranates of blue, purple, and crimson yarns, twisted. Verse 25, they also made bells of pure gold, and attached the bells between the pomegranates, all around the hem of the robe, between the pomegranates. Verse 26, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, all around the hem of the robe for officiating in, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 27, they made the tunics of fine linen, of woven work, for Aaron and his sons. The tunics and headdress described in verses 27 through 29 were earlier described in Exodus chapter 28, verses 39 through 42. Verse 28, and the headdress of fine linen, and the decorated turbans of fine linen, and the linen breeches of fine twisted linen, verse 29, and sashes of fine twisted linen, blue, purple, and crimson yarns done in embroidery, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 30. They made the frontlet for the holy diadem of pure gold, and incised upon it the seal inscription, Holy to the Lord. A diadem, mentioned earlier in Exodus chapter 29, verse 6, is a jeweled crown or headband. Verse 31. They attached to it a cord of blue to fix it upon the headdress above, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 32. Thus was completed all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. The Israelites did so just as the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. The rest of the chapter is a summary of what the children of Israel accomplished in constructing all the many parts of the tabernacle, while the following chapter, the last in Exodus, describes the setting up of the tabernacle. Verse 39. Then they brought the tabernacle to Moses, with the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, its planks, its bars, its posts, and its sockets. Verse 34, the covering of tanned ram skins, the covering of dolphin skins, and the curtain for the screen. Verse 35, the ark of the pact and its poles and the cover. Verse 36, the table and all its utensils and the bread of display. Verse 37, the pure lampstand, its lamps, lamps in due order, and all its fittings and the oil for lighting. Verse 38, the altar of gold, the oil for anointing, the aromatic incense, and the screen for the entrance of the tent. Verse 39, the copper altar with its copper grating, its poles and all its utensils, and the laver and its stand. Verse 40, the hangings of the enclosure, its posts and its sockets, the screen for the gate of the enclosure, its cords and its pegs, all the furnishings for the service of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Verse 41, the service vestments for officiating in the sanctuary, the sacral vestments of Aaron the priest, and the vestments of his sons for priestly service. Verse 42, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, so the Israelites had done all the work. Verse 43, and when Moses saw that they had performed all the tasks, as the Lord had commanded, so they had done, Moses blessed them. Perhaps because of previous disappointments with the Israelites, Moses withheld his blessing until the work was completed. There is an old Jewish proverb, a mitzvah, a commandment, good deed, is attributed to the one who completes it. Many people start projects and never complete them. But to their credit, the Israelites did complete the construction of the tabernacle, and Moses, who was not hesitant to criticize the Israelites, now finally has reason to bless them. Chapter 40, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 2, on the first day of the first month you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Verse 17 will specify the exact day the tabernacle was set up. It is the first day of the Hebrew month of Nisan, the month in which the Israelites exited Egypt and the month in which Jews have ever since celebrated Passover, at the beginning of the second year following the Exodus. Verse 3. Place there the Ark of the Pact and screen off the Ark with the curtain. Verse 4. Bring in the table and lay out its due setting. Bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. Verse 5. And place the gold altar of incense before the Ark of the Pact. Then put up the screen for the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 6. You shall place the altar of burnt offering before the entrance of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Verse 7. Place the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. Verse 8, set up the enclosure round about, and put in place the screen for the gate of the enclosure. Verse 9, you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, to consecrate it and all its furnishings, so that it shall be holy. Verse 10, then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils to consecrate the altar, so that the altar shall be most holy. Verse 11, and anoint the laver and its stand to consecrate it. Verse 12, you shall bring Aaron and his sons forward to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with the water. Verse 13, put the sacred vestments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may serve me as priest. Verse 14, then bring his sons forward, put tunics on them. Verse 15, and anoint them as you have anointed their father, that they may serve me as priests. The anointing of Aaron's sons as priests might well have been a bittersweet moment for Moses, whose sons, it would appear, were not actively involved in carrying on his mission. See commentary to Exodus chapter 6, verse 23, prominent parents and their children. Verse 15 continued, this their anointing shall serve them for everlasting priesthood throughout the ages. The high status assigned to the priests in the Torah and in later Jewish life motivated Jews who were priests, Kohanim, to make sure their children were aware of their identity. Even though women did not have priestly duties, the daughter of a priest, Bat Kohen, also had a high status, and in case of divorce, was to be awarded a much greater amount of money than a woman of non-priestly lineage. Unlike Jewish identity, which traditional Jewish law holds to be transmitted through the mother, the child of a Jewish mother is a Jew, tribal identity, as in the case of the Kohanim, priests, who are all of the tribe of Levi, is transmitted through the father. Research conducted by Dr. Michael Hammer of the University of Arizona, a scholar in molecular genetics and chromosome research, confirmed the presence of special genetic markers in Jews who identify as Kohanim, which point to a common descent from a priestly lineage. Hammer's conclusion was, our estimates lend support to the hypothesis that the extended CHM, Cohen modal haplotype, represents a unique founding lineage of the ancient Hebrews that has been paternally inherited along with the Jewish priesthood. All of which suggests, to a statistically improbable extent, the descendants of Aaron have maintained their priestly lineage. For example, there is a strong likelihood Jews named Cohen, if their name did not come about through a name change, are direct descendants of Aaron, Judaism's original priest. Verse 16. This Moses did, just as the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Verse 17. In the first month of the second year, on the first of the month, the tabernacle was set up. Verse 18, Moses set up the tabernacle, placing its sockets, setting up its planks, inserting its bars, and erecting its posts. Verse 19, he spread the tent over the tabernacle, placing the covering of the tent on top of it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 20, he took the pact and placed it in the ark. The pact refers to the Ten Commandments. Verse 20, continued, he fixed the poles to the ark, placed the cover on top of the ark. Verse 21, and brought the ark inside the tabernacle. Then he put up the curtain for screening and screened off the ark of the pact, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 22, he placed the table in the tent of meeting outside the curtain on the north side of the tabernacle. Verse 23, upon it he laid out the setting of bread before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 24, he placed the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle. Verse 25, and he lit the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 26, he placed the altar of gold in the tent of meeting before the curtain. Verse 27, on it he burned aromatic incense, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 28, then he put up the screen for the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 29, at the entrance of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, he placed the altar of burnt offering. On it he offered up the burnt offering and the meal offering, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 30, he placed the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it for washing. Verse 31, from it Moses and Aaron and his sons would wash their hands and feet. Verse 32, they washed when they entered the tent of meeting, and when they approached the altar, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 33, and he set up the enclosure around the tabernacle and the altar, and put up the screen for the gate of the enclosure. When Moses had finished the work, verse 34, the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the presence of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The cloud is God's glory, which now dwells among the people. The function of the tabernacle was to create a portable Sinai, a means by which a continued avenue of communication with God could be maintained. As the people move away from the moment of revelation, they need a visible, tangible symbol of God's ever-abiding presence in their midst. Sarna. Verse 35. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it and the presence of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Everett Fox points out that Exodus ends not with a tribute to the beauty of the tabernacle or to the skill of its builders, but with a description of how its purpose was fulfilled. The tabernacle was built so God could dwell among the Israelites. Now that it has been completed, the Torah affirms God is indeed in their midst. Verse 36. When the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the Israelites would set out on their various journeys. Whereas the story of Exodus began with a people in servitude to an earthly king, it ends with a people in servitude to a divine king, Everett Fox. Verse 37, but if the cloud did not lift, they would not set out until such time as it did lift. Verse 38, for over the tabernacle a cloud of the Lord rested by day, and fire would appear in it by night, in the view of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. Nahum Sarna, Benno Jacob, and Everett Fox all point out Exodus begins with a tale of darkness, misery, and oppression, and closes with the brilliant illumination of God's glory. The book thus functions as an organic, literary unit, tracing the development of the Israelites from a nation Pharaoh enslaved and tried to annihilate, to a nation sheltered by God's presence. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of The Rational Bible, Exodus, by Dennis Prager, performed by Tom Parks. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc., all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brilliancedio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.